In the closing stages of the federal election campaign, the former US Vice President Al Gore has weighed in on the debate over climate policy in this country. The former politician turned climate activist says the result of the federal election will have implications for global action on climate change. These comments come as Al Gore prepares to travel to Australia next month to hold workshops for the next generation of climate activists. Al Gore approached the ABC to talk about climate change policy ahead of the election. He's speaking here with the ABC's national environment reporter, Michael Slezak.
I see the new generation now rising up, demanding a better world. And I see the incredible progress that business leaders and engineers and scientists have made in reducing the cost of electricity from solar energy and wind energy to record low levels, much cheaper now than electricity being produced from the burning of dirty fossil fuels. Electric vehicles are becoming much more popular, and their cost is plummeting as well, and efficiency improvements. And I think that we are very close to a political tipping point. But I must say that the world is now preparing for the crucially important review cycle for the United Nations agreement. And the Australian election now pending is an opportunity for Australians to play an incredibly important role in saying to the entire world, we can solve this. So what you do in Australia this Saturday has incredibly important global implications for whether the hope is going to be unlocked and realized or not.
We are going to the polls this Saturday, and surveys have shown that climate change is the number one issue for on a lot of Australians' minds. So the coalition is proposing, that the incumbent government is proposing to keep our existing 26% emissions reduction target for 2030, and the Labor Party is proposing to lift it to 45% and also said that they'll reduce emissions to net zero by 2050. How would those two sets of targets be seen, do you think, on the international stage?
I mean, the question almost answers itself. One is really not credible, the low number, but the other is quite significant, and would be seen if it were enacted, it would be seen as an extremely significant act of leadership on the part of Australia. It's not my role as a non-Australian to dissect campaign platforms, but the choice is very clear. This election is about two clear paths on the climate crisis. One is about setting ambitious, achievable targets, and another is about taking Australia and the country in the wrong direction. And I trust that Australian voters will choose the right path. It will certainly have a tremendous global impact, whatever choice Australians make.
So many have pointed out that Australia only produces about 1.3% of global emissions. Why will what Australia does have, as you put it, a tremendous global impact?
Well, Australia has always punched above its weight. Australia has always been seen in the world community as a thought leader, as a model in many ways. So many countries around the world envy Australia, but more significantly than that, look to Australia for the kind of leadership the world needs.
Mr. Gore, hearing these comments, I suppose many listeners will instantly remember what might be your last sort of high-profile intervention into Australian climate politics, which involved you standing at a podium with Australian billionaire and then MP Clive Palmer. Of course, right now, Mr. Palmer is running again for election. He's also pushing to open up a massive new coal mine and a large coal-fired power plant. Do you regret that particular intervention into Australian climate politics?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, Labor and the Greens and Clive Palmer joined together to block the current government's efforts to get rid of the renewable energy target and to get rid of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, the Climate Authority, and other key bodies. And I commend that, because those bodies that were saved, again, by Labor, Greens, and Clive Palmer, have since cut emissions and generated millions of dollars of investment and jobs and renewable energy for Australia.
You're coming to Australia again next month to, as I understand it, to train people, activists, as part of your climate reality project. What's the point of that project?
Well, I'm looking forward to being in Brisbane June 5, 6, and 7. The purpose is to train more grassroots climate activists who can spread the scientific facts about the climate crisis and about the solutions to the climate crisis, and help to mobilize the change in policies that I mentioned earlier are so greatly needed.
Over the last year, we've seen activism on climate change take on a slightly more radical bent. We have seen the school strikes and so on, but we've also seen the Extinction Rebellion spread around the world. They've disrupted events, shut down streets, and part of their strategy is to pledge to be arrested. What do you think of these more radical activist movements?
Well, first, I have to admit to you that I have applauded most of them. I think that the young people involved in the school strike movement, inspired in part by the young Swedish girl, Greta Thunberg, have really captured the imagination of their peers around the world. And we have a school strike movement in the U.S. now. One of the leaders is a 13-year-old girl who is a graduate of one of my training programs here in the U.S. So I'm cheering them on. I have not experienced the Extinction Rebellion in London. I've certainly seen the news coverage, but I've also seen in that coverage how many people in the United Kingdom are cheering them on, even if there's some inconvenience associated with it. And I don't think it's an accident that after their vigorous demonstrations, the UK government declared a climate emergency and is now really ratcheting up the kind of commitments it's prepared to make. So, you know, when there is a failure on the part of governments to deal with a crisis that is so obviously threatening our future, there's a long tradition of support for activists who say, okay, we've got to express our own views about this. And so in general, I have applauded their activism.
Mr. Gore, thanks very much for speaking with Radio National.
Thank you, Michael.
Al Gore, former US Vice President, these days climate activist, speaking with the ABC's National Environment reporter, Michael Slazak. And in a statement, a coalition campaign spokesperson said Australia's 2030 target to reduce emissions by 26 to 28% below 2005 levels is responsible and achievable, and adds it is one of the strongest efforts amongst G20 countries, stronger than Japan, Canada, the EU, Germany and New Zealand. Meanwhile, some of Australia's most prominent scientists are urging whichever party wins this election to make action on climate change a key priority for the next parliament. This group of 62 scientists and experts include Nobel Prize winner Professor Peter Doherty and former Chief Scientist of Australia Professor Penny Sackett. In an open letter published today, they say Australia's greenhouse gas emissions are rising, moving the country further away from our Paris obligations, and add that the solutions are available to address climate change. All that is missing is the political will. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 6:45.